Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all our listeners. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mudiwa Kabaza, and for today, we are talking about small caps, rising from the ashes, and them as a credible or an alternative sort of investment to some of the blue chip stocks that usually make up a lot of portfolios, top 40, Satrix, whatever it is. You know, most of the time is usually made up of big companies, and we usually focus, even in the global context, we're always focusing on the big companies out there, hearing about the over $1 trillion valuations of the likes of Amazon, Microsoft, and Apple, and always focusing on those. But for today, we're going to be talking to Vanessa Van Furen, who is a portfolio manager and equity analyst at Sanlam Investments, about some of the small to mid-cap stocks, that could actually, help you to actually draw some type of wealth, or to actually increase the value of your own portfolio. And we're actually going to be talking about the economic context around which mid-cap stocks are actually existing in South Africa, and why she actually says that this could be a credible sort of investment. Vanessa, greetings to you.
Good morning, Madiwe.
I think a good place for us to start always is maybe getting a sense, some context around, our guests, who we're talking to, what are they about. So as a portfolio manager and equity analyst at Sanlam Investments, maybe you could tell us a little bit about that. We've engaged quite a lot with, various parts of Sanlam on this platform in the past. So when we talk about Sanlam Investments in particular, what are we talking about?
So the Sanlam Investments as a group is quite a broad cluster. So we have multiple offerings across the group, as you guys have engaged in the past with the company. I sit particularly within the equity offering, which is essentially representing the investments onto the listed stock exchange. So my area of specialty is traditionally been the small and mid-cap space, where I have focused on analyzing those shares and managing the portfolios, both on the retail and institutional side on behalf of our clients. And more recently, I've moved into some of the financial stocks as well. So working on the financial fund too. So I've added that to my list of priorities. But as our focus today is on small and mid cap, so with over 15 years experience in this space, I've been through a number of cycles, and so quite happy to share my learnings on this area of the market, which I believe is very underappreciated, I think, in the broader investment context in South Africa. As you've touched on earlier, people tend to focus on large caps and they don't necessarily focus on the smaller end of the market, for a number of reasons, which we can go into as we progress through the chat today.
No, thank you for that. And I think, what you're saying makes me then wonder. So are you saying that, small to mid-cap stocks, are sort of like the future? And when we say small to mid-cap stocks, people that have explored or followed the career of the likes of, a famous investor like Warren Buffett knows that someone like that started with penny stocks. So when we say small to mid-cap, are we talking penny stocks? Are we talking big companies, small companies? Like, what are we talking about in terms of, either market cap? Like, how do you actually measure, at least in the South African context, whether something is small to mid-cap?
So it's quite a broad universe if you look at it, and it's not clearly defined. I think the easiest way to explain it would be, if you look at the South African market, it's very dominated by the top 40, which are all the famous shares that Naspers and the like. And then everything below top 40 is basically mid and small cap. And that's basically the two JSE indices, the mid and the small cap index, both roughly make up about 50 to 60 stocks each. And then below that, you get the fledgling index, which is the very small end of the market. That's particularly where your penny stocks will reside. Your small cap stocks can be in a market cap of anything from a couple of billion up to 14 to 15 billion in size at the moment. And it fluctuates depending on the levels of valuation in the markets. And then mid caps can go up to very large. They can go sort of 30 billion plus. But effectively, the cutoff is for our universe is everything outside of large cap and top 40. So that's where we select stocks. Yeah.
And when it comes to what you're seeing in this particular universe, are you? I guess, are we now saying that these small companies are where the growth is? Are we saying that, you know, the larger caps have sort of whatever growth was meant to be there has been squeezed out? Are we saying that, or are we rather saying that there's more room for the smaller caps to grow as opposed to some of the larger caps? Something can grow at, let's say, 5 to 10% versus 50 to 60 that a smaller, rapidly growing company can grow at.
So I think it's basically all of the comments that you've mentioned above. I mean, I wouldn't say that it's particularly that these are the investments that you have to invest in for the future, that there's some kind of new opportunity. I think I want to stress that upfront. The important thing is that conceptually, small caps should offer you that higher growth trajectory than you see in your more established companies, just by virtue of the very fact that these are developing and evolving companies that hopefully over time, if they're successful, will become the mid and the large caps of the future. That's the conceptual theory. The other side to the argument is just that they are very, very dependent on the local economic environment and backdrop. So you touched on that earlier, and we're going to talk about the economic context, but effectively the macro economy. So what we've seen in South Africa has been very challenging for the last at least 10 years, will determine the fortunes of these businesses at an on the ground level. So I think that's an important point. And then the third point of that, of the argument, is that that then in turn affects how the market values these companies and how they perceive these businesses. And my sense of it has been that for over a decade, this area of the market's been neglected just from the point of view that the environment has been very challenging. The market that these companies operate in has been tough. So you've had very limited GDP growth, you've had limited demand. And so it's been very difficult for these companies to grow and flourish, like you saw in the previous decade from, say, 2000 to 2010, where we had a very strong consumer boom and GDP growth in South Africa, that backdrop. So that has resulted in the actual underlying valuations of these companies being very weak. So already the shares had been under pressure for a long time. And then when COVID came last year, we saw the whole market getting hit quite severely. And the smaller mid-cap shares fell even harder than the large-cap shares. So what you saw was this absolutely like one in, I'd say, 10 to 15-year opportunity of the values of these companies hitting such a rock-bottom level that the environment was perfect for a very big recovery. And we've seen the start of that, because if you take the last 12 months, smaller mid-caps have materially outperformed large-cap shares. And my argument around that is that basically it was a combination of these shares being very, very cheap and then being knocked out even further by COVID. And the reason why they've been so cheap is because the market hasn't been paying attention to them, because the economic environment has been so challenging and difficult. So it's really been about a valuation opportunity. And to some degree, that has played out in the last 12 months. There has been a move up in these shares, but my sense is that if you look at the universe as a whole, we still find a lot of value in these stocks, because they still tend to be, on the whole, neglected by the bigger institutions, etc., who don't really pay that much attention to them, maybe can't necessarily invest in them from a liquidity point of view. So there is that opportunity for someone who's dedicated to the space to reap these opportunities and the rewards from these shares.
I was actually about to ask, because you just brought in that fact of the institutional investors just now. I was actually going to ask, when you talk about the sell-off that did happen last year, you know, was that from the retail side, or did you see sort of more the institutional, or have the institutionals just largely ignored the space, whether we're in a pandemic or not?
I think you're 100% spot on. The institutions have largely ignored the space. I mean, I can tell you that in the last 10 years, there's been very limited direct small cap institutional interest, where big institutions or pension funds have come to us and said, we'd like a dedicated small cap mandate. So it's largely been the domain of retail and IFA investors. But having said that, if you look at for example, we have internal institutional money that's allocated to the small cap area, The sell-off was across the market. So the pressure has been across all clients. So there are institutions that are invested in small caps, but they tend to be all held in-house, and there isn't really this big external market demand for dedicated small cap mandates. I think it's seen more as a critical area of your portfolio on a bigger basis. So a big, there'll be a mandate that comes to the market, And I think it's important for that mandate to consider having exposure to the smaller mid-cap area, whereas previously in the previous decade, you saw big pension funds looking for dedicated small-cap exposure, which is different from what we've seen in the last decade.
You know, when we talk about the small to mid-cap space, you know, as someone who looks particularly at technology, media and telecoms companies, you know, you can actually see some of this growth when you look at some of the lesser known names or some of the smaller companies. I'm just thinking, at least in our space, just thinking about a company like Cartrack, which recently relisted as Karooooo, and that company has had phenomenal growth over the last year, 18 months to 24 months. And I can imagine that in other sectors that there must be, you know, some of those stories, you know, where you can see some of that, you know, really phenomenal growth. So maybe you can talk to us just around how you guys as Sanlam have actually gone about allocating or at least structuring some of your portfolios to actually include some of these small caps. I think it's something that you had already started to touch on a little bit. Maybe you can shed a little bit more detail and thinking from a Sanlam point of view just around how you are looking to, you know, at least participate in whatever opportunity is there.
Okay, perfect. So I think the first important point is that we approach the space on a very dedicated, detailed basis. So whereas I mentioned to you previously, it tends to be an ignored area of the larger institutions, I think Sanlam's made the decision that having a dedicated small and mid-cap research team and having that analysis within the team across our team of equity analysts is very important. So that's point number one. And the most important aspect for me in terms of understanding these shares and investing in these shares is the work that you do around these investment cases. So these are not companies that are well covered in the market by big investment banks, et cetera, where you have lots of sell side research available at your disposal. You really need to do your own work. So we've built up a lot of experience over the last, you know, 15 years, building management relationships with management teams, going and understanding these assets, researching them in a lot of detail. So I think that's your most important starting point, is that you need to have done the work before you invest in the companies. Because there is a higher level of risk associated with investing in these companies, there may be risk of failure, there may be risk of a number of factors that may not be the case with the larger companies. So that's how we approach it. The other very important point is that we look at these businesses. We do consider the growth. So growth is very important for us. So you talked about Cartrack as an example. That's a company we invested in initially when it listed, like many years ago. More recently, it's become a lot more expensive. So it's a little more tricky from a philosophy point of view. But having said that, it's a good example that you've highlighted. So we do want to capture these companies when they are young and evolving. But at the same time, we also, from a fundamental research point of view, we try and look at what are these companies going to look like in the future? What are the normal what is the normal operating environment in the long term for these companies? So a company like Curev, as I talked about earlier, would be an example where we've looked at the next 20 years. What is the private sector demand for education opportunity in this country, and try to model that and then try to value the business on that basis. So the point I'm making is we place a lot of emphasis on the research we do in understanding these businesses and then picking particular shares that we have exposure to and hopefully incubating an idea or a company from a young phase to its development. You're not always going to have thousands of opportunities like that. You are still going to need to just invest in your normal mid caps and small caps that are already established businesses. And there is just a valuation argument where you're looking at, is the company offering upside versus, you know, what you believe it's worth versus what the market's paying for it at the moment. So it's a combination of those two processes within the portfolio.
And when we think about, you know, that type of time horizon, that's a really long time. And as you said, there's a lot of commitment just from actually understanding some of the fundamentals of what the sectors look like, the companies, etc. So when it comes to that, I'm curious to get your thoughts around technology startups then, because, you know, that's a, it's a It's an interesting space because some will go and, I'm just thinking about a company like, Capital Appreciation, they will go and list and then start investing in these, technology companies. So if you are someone who's just in the listed space, you could maybe take advantage of some of those high growth opportunities. But they are, in large part, startups tend to be sort of more in the private space. So I think the question I'm asking is more around, do you guys sort of deal exclusively in the listed space, or, is there any chance for people to actually take advantage of some of this growth that is happening in the unlisted space? Because, those are opportunities that do exist, but aren't always accessible to people.
Yeah, Madiwe, that's a very good question, because actually we were debating this the other day. The reality is, in the listed space, and we are confined to the listed space, we are not able to invest in unlisted stock. I mean, we have a private equity team that does that. So we only invest in the listed companies. And the reality is, we are more constrained from that point of view. We don't have a wealth of listed startups, like you talked about Capital Appreciation as an example, like you have in the States, for example, where, like in the US, you've got, these tons and tons of fintech startups and lots of listed opportunities there that are available for investing. In South Africa, there hasn't really been a massive amount of those kinds of ideas. Yes, we have our traditional IT companies, like that have done well, something like an Adapt IT that's been very innovative and done well. You've got the other argument of that, something that's been a problem has been that's failed, is like the EOH idea. But what you found in South Africa is that technology has tended to be, we tend to not necessarily invent, we tend to take technology from overseas and then basically sell it locally. So that's the one problem. But having said that, there are examples of innovative fintech startups. And what we tend to find is that they are embedded in the larger companies. So we know a company like Naspers has been very, very, technology astute in terms of investing in a number of startups, investing in online retail, et cetera, et cetera. In our area, there are some examples. So you gave Cartrack as one, which is a great example. And then the other one is a company like Transaction Capital, which has actually been very innovative around technology and building their own data and proprietary systems around lending to taxis and on their financial services side. And then more recently buying into the business of We Buy Cars, which is also, again, you've got an online aggregator of car dealership, car retail, which is using technology as a startup again. And it's been very successful. So there are examples of this, but they are quite few and far between, if I'm completely honest with you. And where there are those opportunities, they do tend to be very, very highly valued in our market. So you need to be quite selective at making sure you're not overpaying for these ideas. And I do think South African investors are quite quite cautious of tech, whereas international investors are a lot more open to investing and paying very high multiples for companies. I think South African institutional investors tend to be very conservative around tech and startups. So I think that's how I would view it. I think it's an underappreciated opportunity in our space, and we need to see more ideas coming into the market in the likes of like a Capital Appreciation structure or transactions within businesses like Transaction Capital.
And all of the businesses that you've just highlighted, like you said, few and far between, but they do, offer really great opportunities. But outside of the technology space, that's been a big focus for, a lot of people, especially during this pandemic time. The opportunity in technology is quite clear. And you also mentioned Curo earlier on, and the demand for education even before the pandemic, was quite clear when you see what's going on with Curo, even its competitor Advitech, etc. Are there any other sectors, that you guys are sort of interested in or sort of saying that, small to mid caps in these particular sectors, could drive some type of growth? Because it really does sound like you guys are committed, at least, for that 10 to 20 year sort of time horizon.
100%. I mean, we take a really long-term view. I mean, there's been some holdings in our portfolio where it's taken, over 5 years before it's even made any money for us. And so we're very patient and long-term in our outlook. I think In response to your question, there are sectors that are attractive fundamentally. So like, for example, education is very attractive. things like retail, where there are particular opportunities, like a company like Home Choice that has been very innovative in the small cap space around online retail. There are little opportunities, but having said that, our general approach is quite bottom up, in the sense that we look at the broad market and we look at individual businesses, and the portfolio that's constructed is a result of a number of ideas across different sectors. We didn't start from the sectors and say we wanted exposure to these sectors and then look for the companies. We started with knowing all the businesses and then picking the ones across the sectors within where we saw the most opportunity and value. But there are within our space a number of opportunities at the moment. So like, if I had to highlight a couple of economic sectors that are particularly attractive, I mean, an example would be like the construction sector, where there's a couple of smaller mid-caps in that space, Robex, Wilson Bailey, where this is a sector that's been completely neglected. We know construction has not happened for the last 10 years in this market. And there's a big turnaround now with government's commitment to their national development plan. There's big spend coming through state-owned entities like Sunroll. So you're starting to see a revival of this market, and there are two particular smaller mid-caps that play in that sector. Then on the, you've got areas like, we've spoken about education. You've got areas like food production. You've got companies like Lipstar, which is also, these are all small companies which have very strong structural positions around private label production. And again, they don't really get the attention of the broader market. So ideas like Lipstar, Sea Harvest Group, Astral Food from Astral Chickens, these are all small and mid-caps on the food production side that are offering interesting opportunities. And then you've got opportunities. I mean, I'm just looking across. The other interesting sector is the hospitality sector. I mean, we've got a lot of small and mid-caps in the hospitality sector, and you know how that has been affected by COVID. So again, here you've got opportunities where if these businesses survive, they're very lean operations that have been materially cut back in terms of their footprint. But if you have a recovery post the third or fourth wave of COVID, you can see how well positioned these businesses are. So there's also those kinds of opportunities. And these companies tend to be dominated in the small and mid-cap sector, the likes of your famous brands, Spur, City Lodge Hotel. These are all companies linked to that particular theme that sit in our end of the market. So that would just be an example of some of the sectors where we're seeing opportunities at the moment. So both from a valuation point of view and both from a fundamental growth point of view, once the environment normalizes, because I do caution that the economic environment remains very challenging. And I think it's important that we make that point to the people out there looking to invest in the space, that we're not out of the woods yet of the tough economy. We know that. So you still need continued policy commitment from government, fixing up the political environment, and then getting back onto a growth trajectory that we saw in the prior decade, which I think a lot needs to happen for that to come back.
As we end off, Vanessa, thank you so much. And especially just explaining the context within which some of these sectors are going to be either growing or contracting. And, you know, so it's actually quite interesting when you think about a company like, you know, you mentioned Spur, Astral, etc. Just because, you know, they don't fall in that top 40, they sort of become that small to mid cap. So it's always quite interesting to hear things from that point of view. And probably as things open up, vaccinations go up, we will see that resurgence, especially in that hospitality sector. So maybe, you know, that's possible opportunity. But as we end off, because one of the things that's quite clear is the fact that, you know, a lot of institutional investors through whom a lot of retail investors actually invest through pension funds, ETFs, etc., aren't really paying attention to, you know, the smaller companies. From what you're seeing, are companies, you know, at least the smaller companies, are they really looking to public markets in the SA context, you know, as a way to either raise capital or, you know, just listings in general? Because I can imagine that a lot of these companies would come to the likes of Sanlam when they're doing their roadshows, you know, potentially looking at listings, etc. So because people haven't been paying attention and, you know, as hard as the economy is, etc., do you anticipate that listings, at least in the smaller space, will go up or down?
Yeah, that's also a great question, Madhiva, because it does trouble me a lot, because we have unfortunately been through, if you look at the last year or two, far more delistings than any new entrants into the market, as you can well imagine. So, you know, typically at the back end of a very difficult cycle, companies delist because they're disillusioned. They don't feel that they get the value for being on the listed stock exchange. They pay fees for that. They're subject to a lot of public scrutiny. So yes, there has been disillusionment by small and medium companies, and many of the management teams have expressed that frustration to me. They've been listed for years. They don't get any attention, et cetera, et cetera. My hope is that if you take the last 12 months of performance that has been so much better than large caps, that there is a rekindled interest in the space. And that, yes, while the economic backdrop does remain challenging, that it does give hope to new businesses that want to come onto the stock exchange and can see that they can actually attract investors' attention. I mean, you know, teams like ours that are going to continue to invest in the space and be dedicated to it, support these businesses. And when companies come to us, we're completely open to listening to them and looking at providing capital to them. So I think you've got to see more broad-based interest come back. And hopefully the recent performance of these shares will spur that interest. But the next leg up, you will unfortunately need the macroeconomic support to come through and to see better GDP growth in order to encourage that to happen. And then, so in summary, we haven't seen it happen yet. I'm hoping that it will come back at some point in the near future, and that we have that revival of new listed entities coming to the market and looking for capital on the stock exchange.
So that was us with Vanessa Van Furen, who is a portfolio manager and equity analyst at Sanlam Investments, just giving us some broad insight and also specific insight into different sectors, because she's actually making the argument that there is an opportunity for people to be investing in small to mid cap stocks. You know, those are the smaller companies that don't make the top 40, which is often what people are interested and or pay attention to when it comes to the JSC. And she's just saying that there are a lot of these companies, you know, just highlighting some of the sectors that could actually be growing over time. She says that this is not a new opportunity, because a lot of these companies have been listed for a number of years, but the sell-off of the last year and also just where things are at the moment does give you know, prominence to that opportunity for people that might not have the money on hand to invest in some of the large stocks. There are a number of companies, you know, out there that are growing at, you know, really good rates. We spoke about Cartrack on a number of different occasions during the conversation, as well as she highlighted the likes of Curo, saying that, you know, they see good prospects for a company like that, you know, over the long term. And she's actually saying that's the other thing to consider, the fact that you don't invest in these companies, you know, for 2 minutes, hoping to make money in a day or in a week or in a month, as we've been seeing, you know, with some of these meme stocks in other parts of the world. No, you sort of have to take a long-term view and understand what's actually going on in this sector and actually think about it, you know, from that point of view. And they are offering people to actually invest in some of their portfolios, and they do have dedicated people that are looking at some of these smaller companies. So that's been it. And, you know, hopefully if you are interested in this particular sector, you know, hopefully this particular conversation gave you some credence to actually go out and actually see what's going on in the small to mid cap space. Vanessa, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Madiwe. It was great to chat to you.
This is Mudiwa's Take.
Another great conversation, and always fascinating, but for today in particular, very, 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 very interested in this small to mid-cap space, because the universe and the scope for growth is actually quite big when you actually look at some of the things that are actually going on with these companies, fast growing, etc. We spoke a lot, Cartrack, we keep talking about Cartrack now, listed as Karooooo, etc. The likes of Curo, what's going on in that space. So it was good to hear from Vanessa what they're doing, how they're thinking about the small to mid cap space, and how they're working them into their portfolios. And more than anything else, it's good to see that you know, a company with the resources of Sanlam is actually dedicated to this space, at least for, you know, the time horizon that they are, that 10 to 20 years, because for all we know, some of the companies that are quote unquote small to mid cap today, you know, might be those JSE top 40 companies in the next 5 to 10 years, maybe in the next decade or two. That's what we might be talking about, because you don't necessarily find yourself as a Naspers, you know, out of nowhere. You sort of have to build your way up over the years. And at the same time, the economic fundamentals change, right? At the moment, technology companies really seem to be winning around the world. And in South Africa, the telecoms companies have, you know, benefited quite a bit just around some of these working from home trends, the increased use of the internet, you know, things like that. And education players, fintech players, etc., have really been doing well and garnered a lot of attention. So we wait and see what are going to be some of the long-term trends that affect which companies grow, you know, over the long term, over the next 5 to 10 years, over the next decade. What are some of those things going to be? Going to be education? Is it going to be, you know, technology? Is it going to be retail? You heard Vanessa talking about hospitality. That's a sector that's likely to get some type of a resurgence, especially as tourism starts opening up again, as people get vaccinated, as we beat COVID-19 and people start traveling again, hotels, you know, getting their bookings up. Some of these locations, you know, starting to see more foot traffic, right? All of those fundamental trends. So more than anything else, it would seem that, you know, just to look at what the fundamentals are in the economy at the moment and where those fundamentals are going in future will likely determine, or at least give an indication of what companies will be the ones to look out for and actually see experiencing that growth in the next decade or two. And that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcasts on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab on Twitter with hashtag BD Spotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you to our amazing team. Our producer is Paige Muller. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail. And this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So for myself and the rest of the team, it is good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.